Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Pobes. This is the audio diary of my life. It's the 20th of August, 2025. What time is it? 20 past six, something like that. The cat wants to go out. Cat wants to be fed. Cat's just told me to turn the internet on, which I should do. Internet connection is in the back room down here in the basement, where all the big whirring machinery is, so that the whole planet can have internet. That is the control that one has. Now, what do you want? Do you want food or do you want to go out? What's the thing? You won't speak in English, so I have to read your body language. You're not itch. You're standing by the door, but you're not clawing at it to get out. We'll open it. Just in case you have ablutions to do. Nope. You're just standing there looking at me. Fair enough. And into... Ah, you're very lucky. There is some food for you. Opening freezing department. Putting another selection of food for you for later so it can... Oh, now you should decide to go out. Bloody cheap that is, isn't it? Just about to dish up your breakfast and you go out. Oh, well. That's that then. I won't rush. There is no rush. I'll just let it warm up to room temperature and you can have it a little later. Well, ladies and gentlemen, having dealt with the internet and the cat, I can return. I've had a cup of coffee with the lovely Julia and it is a grey day, a bit cooler, but that may all burn off. I've got a feeling it's going to burn off today. I don't think they are quite as robust as they have been spraying the skies. But what they have been managing to do is prevent rain. And it's interesting, isn't it? We have huge numbers of people coming into the country. We have huge numbers of people populating the country. But we don't seem to be building more reservoirs so that on these beautiful summers, which may or may not be manipulated, who knows, that there will be enough water. And I made a video a while ago saying better store some water because we may have water shortages, and unless we start getting some rain soon, I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, really. Or is it? Depends if you need water. And so what was I going to talk about? Oh yes, yesterday I was going to tell you some of the exciting things we did yesterday. Well, I had a chap come round called Tom, very nice bloke, mobile mechanic he was. And I took my van in for its MOT and they said, oh, you need to have your brakes and your pads sorted out, which was quite expensive. I said, well, you better do that then to get through the MOT and also better have a service. So I had all that. That was hugely expensive for really what they did, and at the end of the day I probably could have done the service part myself, you know, adding oil and topping up with a bit of windscreen wash, whatever it is they do in these services, but the brakes and pads, that's well outside my experience or well outside my ability with the lack of tools and things. But anyway, then they said, yes, you need to have the coolant changed, all of it. And the brake fluids, they need changing. They're becoming corrupt. And you've got to have all that done. And I said, oh, is that essential for the MOT? No, the MOT is just a sort of cursory look round. But for the health of the van, you need to have all this done. I said, oh, OK, well, how much is that extra going to cost me? And they quoted me something like £300 to do the brake fluid and the... So you've got to drain all the brake fluid out. And they said, oh, yes, it's quite complicated. You've got to drain it out. You know, I said, what does that mean? Undo a nut at the bottom and let it just sort of go into a pot. They said, yes, well, it's more complicated than that. And then you've got to get the pressure right and blah, blah, blah. And they made it sound like rocket science. And I said, oh, OK. And the coolant, they said, well, the coolant, you know, that's contaminated or whatever it was. That has to all come out and you'll get some new stuff in there. And I said, oh, right. In my day, it used to be just water and antifreeze.
But oh no, it's just very special stuff, you know, these days. You can't just stick water in there and antifreeze. Blimey, no, this is special, you know, special liquid that's been produced by the king. He sits on a special bicycle and it chews up olive oils and creates this special solution. And you know, it's very expensive, but it will work in your van. Oh right, okay. I said, well, funny thing is, I've not ever had the van overheat ever. He said, yeah, well, you could do any moment. So anyway, this whole process was like 300 quid, and I thought to myself, that's a lot. That's a lot, really, isn't it? That's a lot. On top of everything else as well, that is a lot. I thought, and I looked at the people there, and there were like four or five people sitting at desks at computers, tapping away at things. Now, this is a company, used to be really, really handy, just down the road from me, literally 300 yards. That's how close it was. 300 yards. I mean, you could just push the van down or car. And I've been going to them for years. And they were dirt cheap. Dirt cheap. Very good. You could pop in at any time. You didn't have to book in. You just turn up. And they go, oh, yeah, we'll fit you in. Don't worry about that. Used to be lovely. COVID came and they closed. They had two yards, one a commercial yard and one this sort of more private yard. And they closed the private yard. Said, oh, we're going to close that now. We're just going to deal from the, which is about a mile away. So that was a nuisance. But it was all right for a few years. And then I noticed, oh, more office terminals, more staff. And now, instead of just having a van, what would you like done? We can do this and we can do that and we can do that. Well, what do you think is necessary? Well, we'll have a look and we'll tell you what we, you know, what would be good to have on your van. And it was still pretty much some of the main staff. And then it changed into, no, we have this three tier of service. It's either this, or that. And each one is this expensive. Oh, Christ, really? And it really just changed. It changed into streamlined, you know, no longer. I mean, they say it's much more personal because now you get a text message saying, oh, your van needs this. You get an email, oh, yeah, and a phone call, you know, you get all of this, and you think, this is a bit overkill. Before, I would just ring up and say, can I speak to so and so? Yeah, how's the, oh, yeah, no, it's on the ramp actually. It'll be done in 10 minutes. If you pop down, it'll be done. It was that friendly. It was that friendly, but now it's no longer that friendly. It's like, oh, sorry, I have to see who's dealing with it and who's dealing with the with such and such account. No, you know, they don't. It's somebody in, out, shake it all about. You become just a number. So, this time round, I just thought, yeah, the personality, the personal touch is lost, and it's just about making money and. I mean, obviously, all businesses have got to make money. I get that. I get that. But there just comes a point where business grows to the point where it becomes too efficient and too impersonal. There's got to be some law of growth to efficiency and impersonality, you know. I mean, any business that's going to go through that. If you make, let's say you make dinner plates, and initially you make them out of clay, you dig out the clay, you process the clay, you spin the clay on a potter's wheel, and you make your dinner plates and your pots, and you become a potter, and people come in and they interrupt you, and you stop the machine, and you go, hold on a sec, and you know, go and see the customer. You go, oh, hello, Ray. How are you? I'd like some dinner plates, please. Oh, great. What have you got? I've got them over here. Lovely, lovely dinner plates. Oh, they're all handmade. Yeah, of course. And you know, price reflects that. But you know, it's only me making them. So, you know, Ray, you're a regular buyer of our pots. Yeah, thanks. We'll do it a bit cheaper for you. Whatever. And then, of course, you start having to take on staff, don't you? So then you've got overheads. Of staff overheads, which are probably more than what you rent for the little potting shed, potter's shed. And then as you get bigger and you've got more customers coming in, You need to become more efficient. You can't stop the machine just to talk to the customer. And so suddenly everybody is given a job and that's what they do. And that's woe betide they do anybody else's job. And hence you get to the point where, oh, we need a union now. And I remember when I left school at 15 and I went to work at a printer's. And this is a little town, Reaper Graphics Printers, with a Multilift 1250 printer. And it was in Horsham, in the Carfax, in the central part in the Carfax. So these were all, I suppose they would have been Georgian buildings. And for some reason, they put the printer right at the top. God knows how they got the thing. They must have taken it in bits and assembled it up there. But anyway, it was on the third floor. And customers would come in to the first floor because the ground floor was actually shop fronts, but this place didn't have a shop front. They would come up the stairs and say, "I'd like 500 bill heads, please." What they meant was invoices. And they would come up and they would see the secretary, whose name escapes me now. I can't remember her name. Mandy or something. Anyway, they would see Mandy. Let's say it was Mandy for the sake of argument. And she would take the details and they would say, "Fred Bloggs, builder, wants 500 bill heads, invoices, so that when he does his job, he can give them an invoice," you see. And then that would come in on a card, as a job card. And then, but what I did was I did everything from that moment onwards. So I might even see, she might say, "Richard, could you come and have," I was 15. "Could you come and have a chat with Joe Bloggs?" So go have a chat. He says, "What kind of invoice?" "Yeah, this is my logo. Would you like it in a colour? Is it two colour or one colour or four colour?" "Or yeah, just one colour will do. Maybe put a blue heading up there and then the rest in black." "Okay, great, no problem. We'll produce some artwork. We'll," "don't worry about the artwork. We'll just, you know, just make them up. If I can have them Tuesday, that'd be lovely." "Yep, no problem. We'll make them look like this." "Yeah, that's great." So I would go and do the artwork, take that card, it would follow the job, I would do the artwork, and I would get someone else in the office. I mean, there was only the directors of the company and me, and the directors did different things, and I would get someone just to check it over and say, "Yeah, no, that looks good, spelling's correct, blah blah blah." And then I would go and make the plates in the dark room. And then I would take the plates up to the printer and the paper would be ordered or be in stock. And then I would go and load up the print machine and print off these 500 bill heads. I would then, if they had things like business cards, they would be guillotined and then they would be wrapped and you put one on the top and you take them downstairs back to the secretary lady, down to Mandy, and say, "There we go." And they would be waiting in reception and she would ring up Joe Bloggs and he would say, "Ah, oh, brilliant, I'll come in and pick them up." He would come in, he would have a look and go, "Yeah, top, that's it, lovely, thanks very much." So we would do that. And I did everything from, you know, from discussing the thing with the customer, and even sometimes seeing the customer going, "Here it is," if he had any queries. But, you know, not all the time would I see the customer, but basically, they would end up in reception and you'd say, did he pick them up? Yeah, was he happy? Yeah, great. So you did everything. And then the business got bigger. I ended up just in the print room and I was just basically printing, making the plates and printing everything. Didn't do the artwork. Now I had a team to do the artwork. And the company got bigger to the point where I thought, well, where's the fun? Where's the fun? It was fun doing all the different aspects of it. It was fun seeing the customer and, you know, getting the understanding of the job, doing the job, and knowing that he was satisfied with it. I didn't see the customer. I didn't know anything about the customer in the end. And I left. I just thought that this is, you know, now I'm a small cog in a bigger wheel. And whereas before I felt important, and I used to stay late and not ask for money, and, you know, just to help out, there would be jobs that would come in and you'd just go, "Oh, you've got to get this done by tomorrow." And I said, well, that's all right, I'll just stay. And sometimes you stay till 11 o'clock at night or 12 o'clock, get things like the parish magazine out, and the number of people would stay. The directors would all, you know, chip in. And it wasn't a problem. It wasn't like, oh, I've got to clock in and clock out and all this stuff. It was fun, and we had lovely conversations, and they would go and get fish and chips, bring them in. We would have those and we'd carry on. You know, cups of tea were made. It was laughter. It was fun. And yes, we all got paid. Didn't get paid any extra for the times that I stayed overnight. But occasionally I would get taken down to the camera shop by the managing director, Roger. And he would say, you've been working lots of overtime and stuff. I want to buy you a camera. And he bought me a cine camera because he knew I was into cine. And that's how they rewarded me. Things like that, and rolls of film and, you know, extras, which was fantastic. Loved it. I loved that aspect of it. But once it got too big, I said to him, you know, as much as I love it here, I can't just, you know, it's like I'm now in the back room, out the way, and I don't feel part of the thing. It's just like I'm just a machine now, like the print machine, just make the plates, print, make the plates, print. And the personal side of it went. And that's how it was with the garage. And so I had this chap come round, Tom, his name was, and he did all this work. He did it for half the price. Well, more than half the price. And he came yesterday. He got under there. I said, do you want some? I would have happily made him tea and coffee. He said, no, I'm all right. And I didn't have to take the van in. There was no disruptions. He just came, worked on the van. About an hour and a half later, he was gone. I paid him in cash. And he was very happy. I was very happy. I had to drive off yesterday and go and pick up some bits and pieces for our land when we are on it. And the van was working lovely, very lovely. And I was very happy. In fact, so happy because when I got the van back from the big company now, the day after the sensor came on saying you need to get your brake pads done. I thought, well, I've just had them done. Thanks very much. Anyway, I mentioned this to Tom when he was scrambling about it, and he said, oh, yes, I can see your sensor, the cable to the sensor has been snapped off. So whenever they're doing whatever they were doing, they didn't replace the sensor or they didn't check the sensor was switched off. It snapped. And that's the problem. You get too big, you get sloppy, don't you? Because you're trying to be efficient. And you've got to slot in with a certain time scale. And that's the slippery slope. And that really is why I am in favour of small and family-run businesses and small businesses where the customer matters, not the who are the sleeping partners, the investors and what have you, what do you call them, you know, the shareholders, not them. They shouldn't, you know, I just don't believe in all of that rubbish. Businesses get too big and then they turn into corporations and then they become evil because they're continually trying to be efficient, trying to maximise profits and all of that. And instead of having a job or a work that is a pleasure to do and fun and everybody is part of the same, as it was when I was in the printing business, you start to end up being a small cog in a bigger machine in which you are really a part of that machine. And that is a lesson. It was a lesson for me back then when I was there till I was 18 as the business got bigger and I left. And it was a lesson. And ever since then, I've never worked full time for any other company. I've been self-employed. I did work for Marks and Spencer's part-time before I went to mime school, and I did work in London in something called Underwood, I think it was, or something like that, part-time, just to get some income, but not full-time, not as an employee, but just as a employee, but for like 2 or 3 months. But after that experience, I never worked full-time for a company again. But as a freelance, I've worked and seen people in companies working. And yes, they've made loads of money, but they've given away their lives. They've given away their lives. And that to me is so sad. I'd rather have not so much and more freedom to do the things I want to do. Fortunately, the things I wanted to do in life didn't cost very much. You know, writing, reading, doing plays, and going to mime school, performing, travelling around, doing theatre shows, and all of that. Fortunately, my needs and wants were very small. Doesn't mean to say I've got any money now, of course, but life was more important. Living was more important than giving away. And now people commute, whatever it is, commute for, 2 hours, work for corporations, and you know, just hand their lives over. And the corporations, of course, are just laughing. The directors of these corporations are just laughing their heads off at people that do that. They're just absolutely laughing, sucking the blood out of people, telling them, having their line managers and HR, human resources departments and all of that. And we've allowed these corporations to take over, haven't we? We've allowed the corporations to start ruling the world. And at the end of the day, the corporations are not even real people, you know. You want to take somebody to court, for example, and you work for Tesco's, there's no Mr. Tesco that turns up. There's always a representative of that company, because you can't have a Mr. Tesco's, because there isn't a Mr. Tesco's. And so they're not real people. They're dead entities, always represented by people who have certain powers. And everyone's in tiers of powers. When I worked at the printing firm, yes, there were the directors and me and the secretary, and that was it. And you were a team. I knew that I was, for quite some time, indispensable. I was a very important cog. Even at 15, 16, I was a very important cog in that business, and I felt loyal and I felt part of it. And they looked after me. And if I needed an afternoon off, or I needed to, you know, not come, there was no clocking in. I knew the work that needed to be done, but I was there, and it was fun. It was fun, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed inking up the print machine, cleaning the print machine, making the plates. And there were privileges, because if I wanted to use the darkroom, because I was into photography, I could just use the darkroom and take my own photos, because I was making my cine films and things. And they said, yeah, just use the darkroom, you know, don't worry about it. And print off, and I used to print off my own business cards and my own stationery, whatever it needed it for. It was like, you know, well, look at me, I've got my own little flash cards I could print up. But they didn't mind, because I was there for them and they were there for me. And that was how the business, and it was, we had a fun time. I was very lucky to find that business, first job, you know, after leaving school. I mean, I was working for them before I even left school. I was working for them at the weekends to just see what it was like. And it's taught me a huge lesson. But people don't get that experience anymore. They don't see work as fun. They see it as a job. And when it becomes a job, you know, it's sucking the lifeblood out of people. Anyway, I better go. Thank you for listening. Take care and talk to you soon.